Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, training up a better class of man. And today, it is our annual Christmas episode, Christmas 2024. This year, we wanted to do things a little differently. We normally just buzz through our favorite Christmas stories and do a little bit of scripture reading and then we end the episode. But this year, I wanted to take a little bit more time to, dig into our traditions, our favorites, just kind of what makes this time of year special for us. So we'll go over our old and new Christmas traditions, favorite foods, movies, how we do presents, how we do decorations, and then we'll go into a few of our favorite stories, and then we'll wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. But
yay.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, man.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, man.
This episode will be a few days before Christmas, but we try to get as close as we can whenever we schedule this thing. So,
yeah,
Merry Christmas to all of you. Merry Christmas to all of you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. This is my favorite time of year.
Oh yes,
and the reason hasn't changed. I see a lot of like doom and gloom posts online about how people used to feel about Christmas and how it's lost its magic and everything. But being a husband and being a father, it's my job to keep that magic alive, not only for my wife, but for my kids, because I'm in charge of their childhood. I'm in charge of the memories that they get and they keep. So it's my job to make Christmas as wonderful and as, as special as it was for me, and more so if I can, right? That's the goal. That's the dream. So I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and it's just something that always hit me was, no matter who you are, whether you're a Christian or not, Christmas was always a time of year where everybody essentially was trying to be more like Christ. You're trying to be more giving. You're trying to be more loving, more patient. Goodwill. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, right? So that's always, been kind of the the subversive, the kind of underlayment for this time of year. And then of course you have like the old school 90s filter on the Christmas lights and the tree and the food and everything else. But people is what makes, Christmas special.
Yes.
So that being said, what were your old traditions around Christmas time? What did your Christmas look like when you were a kid?
So my Christmas looked like Christmas Eve. We'd always go over to my grandparents' house and the family would open up Christmas presents there. Christmas Day, mom would be up super early. And she'd cook a big old breakfast. And some of the family would come over if they wanted to. Otherwise, it'd just be me and her just eating. We'd have the Christmas tree up at least by Thanksgiving. And we had a massive tree, dude. Like, this thing was easily like 10, 11 foot tall.
Goodness.
And it was one of those ones where it was just like the center post, and then you'd have to attach each branch. Each
individual branch. That's crazy.
Each individual branch all the way up to the top. Of course, the top was like a solid piece that you put in, but it wasn't that much of the tree. So the hardest part about that was just putting on the freaking lights. You'd have to plug it in at the bottom and then just turn the tree on and let it spin. And you'd have to just stand there as it slowly spins, putting on the lights. And then when it gets to a certain point, when you run out of lights and you have to attach a new one, you have to stop it. Attach it.
Yep, and start up again.
Going.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in order to do it all the way to the top, you have to have a ladder. And that was probably one of the worst parts, aside from actually putting on the ornaments. And we had a metric crap ton of ornaments to put on that thing.
Say a 10-foot tree, that's impressive. Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually still mulling over getting a 9-footer for this house, but
yeah,
you know, that's probably a little ways down the road. There's some other things that we want to do to the house, but you know, I mean, just going back to childhood. Yeah. It's just Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And then just throughout the day, you know, we'd open presents and hang with my grandparents and maybe my uncle and aunt at the time would come over, and otherwise it'd just be pretty simple. That, and if it snowed, then well, guess I've got some work to do. But
yeah.
Yeah. It was simple back then. Mm-hmm. Today it's, you're right, being a dad, it's very different. Because now I get to actually I get to actually mold and influence how the Christmas magic happens. So since I've gotten older over the years, I've come to the understanding that November 1st is when you decorate for Christmas, and Thanksgiving is nothing but a holiday during Christmas season.
Respectful.
Those are my words. Fight me.
You can fight me on it. Let's go.
Yeah, I will absolutely win. Yeah, we will absolutely deck those halls. I'm handing out gifts of Los Manos. These hands are rated E for everyone.
Little accent mark over them. Goodness. Yeah, so when I was growing up, we either, you know, there was this one Christmas tree farm we always went to, and we cut down our own tree. Or if we couldn't cut down our own tree because they were either closed or, you know, we went too late or whatever, we would go to like Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever and pick up a tree. Mm-hmm. But it was always a real tree. My dad was always, you know, he's from Wisconsin. He was always, hard on that. It was like, we are getting a real tree.
A real tree.
And it would always be this, and my mom and dad would switch years, and she would get a modest, you know, tree that, you know, fit the space. You know, always made sense, looked nice, enough space where we could decorate everything. My dad was always get these monsters that we could barely fit through the door. And it's like, how did we drag this in here? He'd always be cussing underneath the tree trying to put it in the base. And yeah, you need like 3 strands of lights to just even cover the whole thing. It was awesome.
Right.
And yeah, man, just that. You know, we did the Christmas cookies for Santa. We did the eggnog. We did all that stuff. We would do presents on, you know, for family on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. We would have it from Santa and everything. My dad always went all out on Christmas lights. We had the manger. We had the lights on the house. All the stuff, right?
Yep.
Oh gosh, my parents were psychos. I don't remember when they stopped it, but when we were kids, me and my sisters would run upstairs. Sometimes we would like sneak up there, but we had literal Christmas bells, like antique, like decorative Christmas bells, and we would wake them up with the Christmas bells. As a parent, I'm like, what the hell were y'all thinking?
I'd wake up mad.
Like, what are y'all talking about? But that's a memory I have. I'm like, wow, y'all were crazy. Absolutely would not play with that. But they did. So that's a memory I'm not gonna repeat.
That one's gonna die.
And yeah, then we just had like a quiet Christmas. You know, we did all the extended family Christmases on on Christmas Eve like you do with your family. And that was basically it. But just like, you know, family, super good food, and you know, presents, all that stuff. You know, the general, you know, I think shared American, you know, memory of Christmas. But what are your new traditions that you're going to incorporate with Christmas? Because you are now not a child. You are a man. You are a dad. and a husband. So what have you picked up from your wife's side? What are you guys doing together with your, you know, with your little one? What does Christmas look like at your house?
So honestly, not too much has changed. There's not a lot of differences between her family and mine. Like, we did, you know, things pretty much the exact same way kind of thing. So back before we had a daughter, we would do Christmas at both of our families just on different days.
Right.
And, you know, Christmas Day would be more for us, you know, especially Christmas morning. And then, you know, later day, Christmas dinner, or whatever, we go and hang with one of our families. But, you know, now our traditions are, we've started a list of our essential Christmas movies that we want to watch during the Christmas season. So obviously, nice. You know, there's the Hallmark cheesy movies that, you know, you just put on in the background just to have a Christmas movie going, you know, when it's not like, you know, Christmas crunch time. So, you know, earlier mid-December is when we start hitting these movies hot and heavy kind of thing. You know, we do Christmas cookies. Of course, I did sugar cookies and made them into the shape of trees, and I'm going to make some icing. We're going to actually like decorate these probably tomorrow, but
nice.
She made these like almost monster cookies where they had dark chocolate, white chocolate, M&Ms, and toffee in them. It's a brown sugar, or not a brown sugar, but brown sugar, brown butter. That's what it was. Brown butter cookie with all those in it. Oh my God. They were delicious. I wasn't sure about the toffee, but dang, they came out good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, our yearly tradition has been that we go to the Tropicana and do like the Enchant stuff. I don't know if you have that there. Where?
No. What is that?
Okay. So Enchant is, if you are a Christmas person, this is like amazing. So they ended up taking the Tropicana field where the Rays play and turned the entire inside on the field into like a Christmas wonderland, where there is a massive, massive, massive tree in the middle. That's just, it's lit up. It's just, it's lights, but you know, fake tree, but it's, you had to have had a crane in there to set this thing up. It was so big, and surrounding it is a massive like maze of lights. And there's also a skating rink. There are shops set up. There's food courts set up. There you can go and meet Santa. There's an area where your kids can like hang out.
Ooh, sounds like you have everything.
Awesome. It is awesome. We've been doing it for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. But we didn't get to do it this year because, yeah, Hurricane Milton
kind of ruined it.
Absolutely wrecked the trop. So they didn't do it this year. So we missed a year.
That's sad.
That sucks. I was actually looking forward to it. But no, I mean, we're carrying for the tradition like we had when I was a kid, of going and looking at Christmas lights, you know.
That's good. Yeah. That's something we haven't done this year. I need to do that.
Yeah. We haven't done that this year, but we're definitely going to. I can't wait to introduce my daughter to dazzle the magic of Christmas lights.
We might take my son. There's one at our local zoo that they do at night. Mm-hmm. They do up all the lights, like, so you walk the entire zoo at night. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's past your bedtime, but I might need to fudge the rules a little bit because that's just cool.
Yeah. They have something similar to that here. At, I think, Lowry Zoo in Tampa has it. But okay. Busch Gardens does Christmas Town, or yeah, Chris, yeah, the Christmas town. It's a bunch of shops and there's lights all over the Busch Gardens. And yeah, it's really cool. I enjoy doing that too. Just, I'm a little hard when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. I'll do Christmas is my all time favorite. You gotta do it if you're gonna do it at any time of year. Just go for it.
It's one time per year. Christmas. Yeah. Don't have this Christmas. Go fully into it. It's full app, no app. That's my family's motto.
Well, it's like, it's the one time per year. And okay, like, I get it. The tree looks a lot smaller in open field than it does in the house. But I don't regret a thing. I need to send you a picture. I got an 8.5-foot tree this year.
No regrets. No regrets. Not one letter.
No regrets. I got an 8.5-foot tree this year when we went to the tree farm. I was looking up at it. I was like, oh, man. You looked a lot smaller in the field. Like, it takes up the entire corner of our living room. The thing's a monster.
My gosh. But,
oh, that's so much fun. Yeah. So our newer traditions. Like, I don't know, man. I'm just like reinforcing old ones, really. Cause like, you know, I've got family out in Oregon. She's got family here. But I'm like, look, we can travel the day after. We can travel Christmas, you know, on Christmas Eve. But like Christmas morning, that's for our family. You know, like,
agreed.
I don't want anybody there. Like, it's just going to be us. Cause at the end of the day, like, our boys are going to remember the, like, our morning, you know, Christmas morning. I want them to remember, like, our family. You know what I mean?
Yes.
After like 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, y'all can come over, but we're not going to go anywhere. You know, we're going to hang out at the house. Cause I need to build those memories. So, I mean, there's that eggnog, of course. That's a me thing.
That's
a guilty pleasure. I'll never let that go. When the boys get older, we'll watch Die Hard.
Yes. But... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Objectively, I can prove it. Like, it is a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
We watch that, and we also watch, I watch that, and then we're going to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original animated one.
Okay.
Not the Jim Carrey House of Horrors one, because I don't want to cause that kind of trauma to my kids already. God, that's the stuff of nightmares. That I am stealing a tradition from my wife's side. So my family would always do, like, when we opened presents, we would do one person at a time. And you would watch, and you would ooh, and you would ah, and they say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And they go and, like, do the whole thing for every single person. Right.
I hate that. I hate so much.
Well, it's just like, it was fine when it was small, but like, dude, like, my family has 8 cousins right now, 10, including my family. Like, it's too much, man. Like, it takes an hour just to get through half of it. Like, no. So her family, the patriarch says 1, 2, 3, go. So like the youngest person passed out all the presents. Patriarch says 1, 2, 3, go. And then it's like chaos. It's like the world explodes in wrapping and boxes and everything. And then afterwards, you know, you go to each individual and you're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And you do the thing. Right. But for me, just that explosion of dopamine is like, yeah, this is Christmas. Like, this is what I'm talking about right here. Like, right. The Christmas story where, you know, he just starts ripping into everything. Like, that's what it looks like. It's awesome. It's the best. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Also, I'm picking up for my wife. Her family did 3 presents. As a kind of a throwback to the 3 gifts, right? And it can be one thing, or it can be like a group of things that is like the same, like, theme. But that's what we're doing for our boys. And then, okay, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And they're going to go nuts. And it's going to be awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm never going back. I'm trying to get my parents to do it. But they're still jealous for, you know, being able to see, like, take pictures and do everything. I'm just like, you'll be so much happier. You guys have no idea. Like, it is the best thing ever. Just try it once. You'll never go back.
Yes. No, agreed. Like, I can't stand it. when it's just like one at a time, you know, I get the reason, you know, if you took,
I totally sympathize. Like, yeah, selfishly, yeah. I would love to watch and see what people thought of the, but the thing is, dude, I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. Like, I gotta be realistic here and what they can handle, like watching everybody else go and like, they can't do that. Like, that's not. Can't do it.
Right. Again. No. Yeah. It's great to see the person's reaction when, you know, you've picked out the perfect present and seeing the expression on their face, and it's great and all, but it's just like, stop. If you have a large family, don't freaking do that. Just don't. Otherwise, you're going to start opening presents at 8 a.m. and you're not going to get done until 4 p.m.
Literally. And I'm like, no animosity at all. But like, knowing that your present is in there with like the explosion, like, for me, that's cool. I love that.
Yes. No, agreed. Agreed.
And, you know, as the, not really like family tradition, but, you know, like, I wake up before everybody, right? That's my job. But like, I've kind of, it's fun to take on that mantle now and like, you know, go in the living room, turn on the Christmas lights. And my boys still know who turns them on. They think it's daddy's magic. So it's fun to do those little things. I love all that little stuff. But what's your favorite food for this time of year?
Christmas time. Oh man. So Christmas time, my favorite food. I don't know, man. Like, I'm always a meat person. Like, I love a good ham, but since I have found a cinnamon roll casserole, that is my new favorite.
I can't blame you for that. That's
so good.
That's valid. Yeah.
Christmas morning, heating this sucker up, setting it down. It's just the smell, man. The smell coupled with just the Christmas magic. It's just like perfection in my eyes. My wife also makes a really, really good breakfast casserole. And it's fantastic. But that cinnamon roll casserole, man. It's just something about it. What about you?
Eggnog. I get it one time a year. I buy it before Thanksgiving, even as soon as it comes out. And unashamedly, I'll get sick on the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're through 3 gallons already. Like, I don't it's so freaking good. I only get it one time a year. And I'm unashamed. I have a coffee mug and an eggnog mug in the morning. Like, it's so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
Absolute, hands down favorite. Food, like actual food. Dude, my wife's apple pie, I'm a fatty. It's so freaking good. Like, I used to always love pumpkin pie around this time of year, but her apple pie, it's like, dude, kill me now. Like, it's the bomb. Yeah. Ooh. Favorite Christmas movie. Pick one, stick to your guns, be a man.
So I have no issues with this. It's always been my favorite, White Christmas.
Okay. I can see that.
Every time. White Christmas. Yep.
Top five.
My top five? Okay, so White Christmas. I've actually got a list. I've been prepared for a couple of years now.
Here we go.
Okay. So this is my wife's and mine combined list. So we have, what do we have? Seven. We have seven essential movies.
Okay.
White Christmas. You've Got Mail. Home Alone.
Yep.
Die Hard. The Holiday, The Santa Claus, and Trading Places.
Oh, okay. I see you with the Santa Claus. That's fair.
Right?
That's fair.
Just nostalgic, man.
Yeah.
Were you even alive when that came out?
When did it come out?
I don't remember. It's been a fat minute. I can look it up here while you're going through yours.
1994. Yeah, I was here. Yeah, I was here.
How old were you? Like,
four. I was born in 94.
Oh my God.
I was just barely here. Oh man, I can see you having an aneurysm. You all right?
My back hurts so bad. I think I threw it out during that.
Dude. That's got to hurt for you. That sucks.
It does. It hurts.
Anyway. I don't know, man. So, Die Hard, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay.
A Christmas Story.
I've never liked that one.
What? That was the one that me and my family always watched. You don't like A Christmas Story?
I do not like it.
That's crazy. Wow. My wife isn't there. That doesn't track at all. What do you mean? You'll shoot your eye out. Nothing? Really?
No. Wow. Like it's wow, that's just crazy. Me, it was just so dumb. Honestly, it was kind of traumatic seeing it when I was little. I always had a fear of getting my tongue stuck to a metal pole after seeing
it. Yeah. Okay. I don't blame you for that. Yeah.
And then just like the Santa, like kicking him down the slide.
Yeah. I didn't like the icicles. That freaked me out.
Yeah.
I always looked at them sideways after that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What else? Probably the Santa Claus and Home Alone. I'd say there's a bunch of other good ones, but that's probably top five. What was the claymation?
Oh, dude,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one with the Yukon. The ginger, like, mountain climber running around with a 44 Magnum stuck in his waistband.
Gosh,
and Rudolph.
Yukon Cornelius.
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it's been years since I've seen that. I was honestly probably still a kid the last time I saw that. That was a good one. Forgot about the claymation one. That's wild.
What was the Santa Claus is Coming to Town? That's what it was. I'm pretty sure.
That was that movie?
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh.
1970.
Oh, I was thinking of a different one. It was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 1964, with Yukon Cornelius.
Okay. No, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, that was the one that had the abominable snowman and...
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that one has, I think it's an anthology. There's three of them. Hey, Hazel. Yeah, that'd probably take the list. But.
Yeah, I can see it. Okay.
And how do you guys do, lights? Because my dad, he went all out with the lights. He did the whole house. He did the manger. He did all sorts of stuff. My granddad, when he was still doing it, went hard. Like, that was his special interest. He got in the paper almost every year. Because, it's the kind of lights that you could see from space. Like, he did his entire, everything was filled.
Oh, that's crazy, dude.
I have between 3 to 4 strands. I don't even make it a quarter way up the house. It goes up to the corner, and then it drops down into the middle of my front yard where the Grinch is stealing Christmas. I have a cutout of the Grinch, and he steals the rest of my lights. And I've done that for 3 years in a row now. It is minimal effort, maximum spirit, and I'll never go back.
So when I was a kid, we used to have the old like C7 style lights, like the vintage light bulbs.
Yep.
And then mom found the icicle lights, which I hated. I hated these things with passion. I still do. At our old house, I put up, I actually have them up on the shelf over there. They're C9 bulbs, but they're LED. So you get like the pure color, which I was like, okay, that's fine. But recently I was gifted, I want to say probably 5 to 7 strands of C7 bulbs from her late grandmother. I need to figure out if I can get them to work. And if so, I'm going to put those up outside this house.
That'd be cool.
Which, because I love the vintage look of the C7 bulbs. It's just that, that off color is
you
just.
You can't beat it.
It's magic to me. But my wife and I both hate the inflatables. It's lazy. It's so lazy.
You know, even worse than that is the freaking projectors. I hate that crap. Well, I can't tell you how much I hate that or the lasers. I can't do that at all.
The projectors, some of them, they're garbage. Some of them are actually not too bad. So we, a few years ago at our old house, we tried to figure out a way to light up the house for Halloween. And I found these solar powered, I guess, up lights that could change color. And I figured out a way to position them in such a way that it basically bathed the entire front of the house in color. And you could set them to different ones. I have 4 of them. Well, I use those here for that same purpose, but so far I've changed them to red and green. As soon as November 1st happened, I switched them to red and green. So the entire front of the house is red and green.
Right.
But that was just a stopgap until I got the lights.
But I'm saying, like, I have people in my neighborhood who would put up like the lasers that just had like a green snowflake that like twisted around over and over again. Like, no, dude. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, do something more. Yeah.
Like, I don't see if like people like actually like, I don't even know if there's a company that does this, but like if you had like different animations, like a sleigh bell or like a sleigh, like going through in and out or whatever, all these different stuff, like I could see having that be a part of your decorations, but just having a projector go off like the side of your house, not for me.
No, I get it. And, you know, to each their own. I know a lot of people do the blow ups. They love them. They do the projectors. They love them. They do the uplightings because it's easy. Or they go all out. They either do a simple strand of lights or they do their entire house and the trees and the walkways and the driveways, the sidewalk, the like you said, the nativity scenes. They go all out.
Like you walk up to their house and you see your bones through the lights, like the whole deal.
Yeah. And you know, my wife and I, we eventually want to expand and do like reindeer and nativity scene stuff like that. But you know,
yeah, I have a little it's like a process. Silhouette of a nativity scene, but I'd love to like go out and like build a little manger. I think that'd be really cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah,
that'd be fun. But
yeah, back when I was a kid, we had the old like molded plastic, like painted nativities scenes.
Yeah, that's what my folks had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like complete with like the shepherds, the wise men.
You put the bulb underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Old school.
Be seen from the freaking road 100 yards away. Yeah.
Like you know what's going on over here.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, no, we used to have that. And I actually just started watching a TV show on Hulu that was like, I don't know, something about, it's a competition where people like go all out with their Christmas light decorations and they get judged, right? And the winner gets like $50,000. Like, that to me is, I saw somebody who had like that nativity scene stuff and I was just like, ooh, I had to pause it and like back it up. I was like, I was trying to tell my wife like what it was that we had. And I pointed out like that is exactly what we had when I was growing up, just so she can get a picture. And she's like, oh, okay. And then went back to sleep. It's like, yeah, that tracks.
Be excited about this.
Yeah. It's like, I'm excited. So you should be excited.
Oh man. All right. Well, you want to run through our stories?
Yeah, man. Let's do this thing.
Okay. I figure. Well, do you want to read one story per? Do you want to go in and out, or how do you want to do it? We have How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and The Christmas Story out of Luke.
We can do one each.
Okay.
I just get going kind of thing.
Okay. I will do How the Grinch Stole Christmas then.
Sounds good.
Because you did the... You did Twist the Night Before Christmas really well last year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their Firestarters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy-proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry-pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas. The whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down Whoville beneath was busy now hanging mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging in their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow's Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. Oh, the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated. The noise, 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 noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the who's would start singing. Then they'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do. The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked, what a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I'll look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked around, but since reindeer are scarce, there were none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No. The Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, then he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, get up! And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All the windows were dark. Quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square, this is stop number one, the old Grinchy Claus hissed. And he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a minute or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. These stockings, he grinned, are the first things to go. Then he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn, and plums. And he stuffed them in bags, and the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimbley. Then he slept to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. And he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. And now, grinned the Grinch, I'll stuff up the tree. And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou Who, who was no more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter, who got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why? But you know that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought of a lie and he thought it up quick. Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it there, and I'll bring it up back here. And this fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was a log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food they left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. It was a quarter past dawn, all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the Who's, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. The sound wasn't sad, why? It sounded merry. Couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. From every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small was singing, without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours, till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. The end. You don't have to applaud. That's fine.
I know. Well, I wasn't going to, but...
Oh. Well, your turn now. My throat's very dry.
I could tell. You were talking a lot.
It's a lot. I forgot how long that one is. Like, my voice, having me read that all the time, but it's like, golly, dude. I remember this being a lot shorter when I was a kid. Maybe it's because the movie was only like 30 minutes or 20 minutes. It was a really short movie. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, I thought it took forever, but as an adult, it's like, oh, holy crap, this was really short, actually.
Really short. Yeah, when you start talking, I instantly remembered how long the poem was, and I was like, okay. I went and cracked open a Sprite and refilled the water in the fridge and went and petted my dog and sat down and did Duolingo. And
you came back right at the end, too. That's pretty funny.
I've been here for a while. I got probably like, you still had like a somewhere between a half and a third left. I was just like, Jesus, takes forever. I forgot about this thing.
It's a classic, man.
Mm.
Can't rush greatness.
No, you can't. That's why I let you have it.
Oh, you do 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
So I am. So a lot of people know this poem as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It's actually called, as we said last year, that this poem is actually called A Visit from St. Nicholas. It was written by Clement Clark Moore on Christmas Eve of 1822. So that kind of gives you an idea of the visuals involved and the language used in this poem. Dang, thing is over 200 years old.
Hell yeah.
It was the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick. I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. For rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled, shouted, and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof, prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. The wink of his eye and twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sled, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
I like your Santa voice.
Oh, thank you.
And when was that rain, you said?
1822. What, 202 years ago?
Yeah. Been a minute.
Been a minute. It's like it was just yesterday for me. My ancient, ancient self.
Oh, and I will do the Valerine. This is out of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I'm doing the English Standard Version. But this is the Christmas story as told by Luke.
You're not going to do King James?
No, I will not do the King James Version. No, thank you.
No, no, gosh, thanks.
Watch this lip in the comments, like, you heretic. Oh. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I'm going to continue the story. I feel so bad bringing to it, but... okay, a biblically accurate angel, like, telling you not to be afraid. Oh my gosh.
Good luck. I would probably pants.
Oh, dude, it's too much. It's, oh, yeah. Anyways. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby living in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Yeah. Keep forgetting that circumcision was actually like a big thing back then.
It was the thing for the Jewish
people. It was like then. So important to get that in there. When he was
You were either the circumcised or the uncircumcised. And that's a whole other discussion. It was completely different back then. The actual act of circumcision. There's a lot of baggage there from what we have today. But
there's a lot of baggage for the Jews in history, not gonna lie.
Any hoozle. But there you have it. That is the reason for the season. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about this episode?
No, we hit on everything, including, you know, that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
1000%. No question.
I will fight people on this. Christmas. Yeah, 100%. It's not Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off the Nakatomi Plaza.
Like he deserved.
Yes. Yes.
Guys, that's all we had for you. From Hard Time Strongman to you guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Thank you for being with us another year. We're very excited for what this next year has in store. But remember why we celebrate this season, why we celebrate Christmas. Merry Christmas. Stay in the
fight. Merry Christmas, guys. Stay in the fight. Check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations, and along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery of these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.